next phase of the agenda, which is the board reports and planning. Let me make sure I got this right. Okay, so the first one, and I think we can probably do this quickly, is the committee that Drs. Lee and Hardings and I sat on, which was a policy review committee. These are just internal policies of the state board. A couple months ago, well, several months ago, we went through this work, and then we brought an interim document to this board, got more suggestions from members of the board, and made those changes, all modest, over the past month. So you have had for the last month the most recent document, and then Mia sent around to everyone just a real quick, like, one-page explanation of the kind of changes that were made, things like expectations, disclosure of board materials, agenda format, things like that. The only thing, I think everything in here is consensus-based. We were able to make all the changes that everybody wanted. The only question, Ms. Izzard, not to put you on the spot, but there was this one question.
Yeah, I did have a question about that.
So it's on page 11 of the document you have in your packages, and it is in, it's highlighted in gold. The issue here is just about, in the previous document, there was a line about refraining from comments based on personal philosophy or experience and so forth. The committee's determination is that would limit the ability of board members to use their past knowledge to bring it to the table. But Ms. Izzard had a different view on, like, how that affects the board. So the recommendation from the committee was to strike the language, but Ms. Izzard, I think, would like to make the case of keeping it. Is that faithful?
The part I wanted to strike, I'm sorry,
I think you highlighted in yellow, was to refrain from comments concerning family members' personal philosophy and personal experience in order to have a public session conducted in a professional. I wanted to keep that because when you bring personal, it brings a bias, even if it's an unconscious bias, to the table. And it also brings in emotions. I just think as a board, we should work off of facts. We can talk about our work experience. I'm not negating that. But when you deal with personal and your family, again, that brings emotions and an unconscious bias, and we all have different experiences at this table. So in order to make sure that we base any decisions or discussions, I think it should be based off of facts and previous working experience. That's fine with me. But anything else beyond that, I think we are on a slippery slope. That's just my own personal opinion, and I'm going to hold fast to that personal opinion.
Okay. Three of the members of the committee are the last ones here at this table, so you might be outnumbered on this. And Justin or Dr. Lee, is there anything you want to say about this? I mean, we did discuss this at length. And
I'm fine with retaining the language that Ms. Izzard has suggested that we keep. I think, I agree with her. Things should be based on facts and information that we've learned, but we all do bring different things to the table. That's why there are, I guess, 9 or 10 of us now, is we all bring something a little bit different. And I think the idea of governance by board is that when 9 or 10 people all bring their own points of view and can reach consensus on something, that produces a better outcome than if any one person were in charge. So I think Ms. Izzard struck the right balance between those two things, and I'm glad to support it.
Okay with you?
Yes, I don't have an issue with leaving it in. I trust that people will exercise their judgment, good judgment, in bringing up factual experiences. Even when I bring up something related to my child's high school report card, it's a factual thing, and I'm just trying to gauge it against other LEAs because I'm not as familiar with the others. But
okay.
No objection.
Okay, so let's do this. Let us strike the strike that was in there. So we are going to keep the original language as it was. So what is now in the gold highlighting, we will keep that. That's the amendment.
So keeping just what's in the gold.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Right. All right, so if that is the amendment and there are no objections to it, does anyone want to have a motion to approve the amended document? Okay. Ms. Izzard and a second from Dr. Lee. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? So we have our five.
I was going to go. Secretary Treasurer.
Thank
give
you.
Give me a half a vote.
Okay.
I like the document, by the way. Not that I have to like it, but I think it's very clear and concise, and I think it's really helpful, especially for people that haven't had board experience before with school systems. So I think it's a great, great thing to have.
Thank you. And a huge thanks to Mia, who led our committee through this work in probably too many meetings that she would like to. It was great. And this will be a public document. And so essentially what it is, it's a collection of the documents that had lived in different places, put together with some amendments over time. So it'll, assume, live on our site, but it's public, just the way we'll do business. So thank you. Okay. Other committee reports. Is there anything from the Mental Health Committee?
David texts me. I've got to pull it up.
Okay, this is the teacher quality one, mm-hmm. but nothing for mental health, presumably.
We are going to have some things going forward from actions from Sylvia and her team, and we're going to actually make sure you go through it first before it goes to the entire board.
Okay.
So our goal is March, if that's correct, Dr. Lawson.
Great. So these are potential recommendations
yes.
for regulations for the mm-hmm. board to consider. Okay. Mrs. Izzard's looking for this. Is there?
I found it.
Okay, good. Okay. So this is the teacher preparation.
Yes.
Committee.
And Sarah is so fast over there because she emailed me also while doing this. And by the way, Sarah is incredible. Also, Dr. Lawson has a great team. Sarah is a team all to herself too. So I want to thank her for working with us. We've discussed entrance standards for undergrad and graduate teacher prep programs. We talked about intern models and certification. So Sarah's doing some more research for us, and then hopefully we will be able to send you some information also before the next board meeting and before we present it to the board, sure. along with Dr. Salvin and Dr. Lawson being a part of that discussion.
Excellent. Thank you. Dr. Salmon, anything else to report on Kerwin? I know we do this every month, but...
Well, there's a great, you know, policy report out, and it has all of the policy decisions. And right now, there has been... We were supposed to have a meeting yesterday, but unfortunately, one of the consultants had an accident, so they have postponed the meeting. And I understand the plan to be that we will... establish work groups. I volunteered MSDE to put staff on each of the work groups because I really wanted to make sure that we kept abreast of the policy decisions and could report back to the board. So, for example, there's one on the whole issue of career and teacher ladders, so I want to make sure we're informed with our work, our committee work on that, and also one of my goals. There's a committee on providing extra assistance to students, especially in schools with high concentrated poverty. So there'll be a committee that looks at the APA study with how to cost out some of the programs that could be employed for that policy recommendation, and so on. So these committees are supposed to be meeting this spring and into the summer, and then we will have, hopefully, funding recommendations for the following session. We do have a small legislative package, which I'm going to let Patrick describe later, for some initial funding for some of those areas prior to the second year of the session, which I think made people feel a little better because some people were concerned about it being pushed back. But it's been a lot of work, a lot of meetings, a lot of effort. And MSDE has done a main share of that staffing and work, and I'd like to thank Christy and Carol and Sylvia for their work in their departments, because we've had to provide tons of input, tons of data, and tons of editing. So,
great. Before I forget, Patrick, I hate to put you on the spot on this. Just a reminder that in the governor's green bag, there was appointments that the Senate will take up is another member of the state board, but also appointees to EDCO, I always forget the name of it. It's a new governing body that was just passed in the legislative.
Education Development Collaborative.
Okay, thank you. this can mean. So it is an entity that is a new governing body, but it is not the governing body that is sort of contemplated by Kerwin.
Kerwin, correct.
So, Patrick, if you're able, maybe in the afternoon, could you give us like a paragraph or so, just so like this board is aware of what this new entity is, because it now has members and presumably it'll start to do work I think folks would just like to know what
it does not
is.
Have any funding, though, does it? We're checking on that.
Okay. Last committee, Justin, high school graduation.
Yes, I have two, actually. I was hoping Dr. Guyton would stay so she could take the high school this time since I took it last time. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll rally for the team. we've met twice since our last state board meeting and started to get more granular in terms of the things that we're looking at. In particular, during the last meeting, we heard from individuals in higher education, employers, people at the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulation about the various internship and apprenticeship programs in the state, really trying to cull from them what are they expecting when we say that a student has a Maryland high school diploma? What are the requirements for getting into their programs? What do they expect that a student knows and can do when they come to them? So that's pretty much the overall discussion. There are three committees, so I only know what happened in my committee, but if Dr. Williamson wants to play cleanup here, go for it.
There's really nothing to clean up. You did a great job of providing that background. We've got the three committees, the one on content and credits, the one on assessment, and the one on diplomas. And so we are going to spend much more time now in our committee meetings and not providing so much background information, but we had to establish a foundation for everyone. So really appreciate your coming to each of the meetings.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I would just like to thank our state board members for their service. I mean, this is a job where you don't get any money for it. And not only are you coming to very long, involved, and reading stacks of information prior to every state board meeting, but you're on additional committees that are also requiring additional reading and reflection and work and time. And so I just want to thank you because we really need your viewpoints and your direction. So thank you all for doing that.
Thank you. Was there another?
I'll take the superintendent's work group on certification requirements for the superintendent, and I'll thank Ms. Bross as well for her ably leading that committee. We met last Tuesday. Dr. Albin is also on that committee, so it's well represented by superintendents and board members and people in the certification world. It was a great discussion, I thought. A couple of the takeaways from the last meeting were to adjust the recommended regulations so that we can include specialists as eligible to be certified as superintendents. Currently, it says you have to have been a teacher, but if you're a speech pathologist or somebody else who works in our schools, the current regulation would have barred those people. So there was a real thought that we should broaden school counselors, for example, that we should not have a bar to those individuals being eligible. A lot of discussion, which wasn't resolved yet, about the timing requirements. There was requirements of 27 months some places, other requirements in different parts of the regulations that go for 3 years. So is 27 months equal to 3 years since it's a school year, and what's an academic year? So there's a lot more discussion to be had about that, but it's good to try to clean some of these up while we can. A lot of discussion about whether we want superintendents to have completed particular programs or meet particular credit requirements. It was surprising, I guess, for some individuals to learn that they could complete a doctorate in educational leadership but not have met the requirements to be a superintendent in Maryland. So I think the committee's view was to be much more flexible in terms of demonstrating that you've got at least the academic background without having to go through a particular program in order to meet the requirements. Also broaden somewhat the exception for being certified in another state to automatically allow you to be certified in this state, which is somewhat of an alternative route to Maryland certification, but if you've been a successful superintendent in another state for 2 years, then that would come with automatic certification in the state of Maryland to be a superintendent. And the last part of the discussion, which I particularly liked, is I think the group came to pretty good consensus that we can't forget that local boards are the ones who are writing the job requirements, and that what goes in this regulation really is a floor, because local boards will write on top of whatever the floor requirement is other things that they want to see based on their communities. And the thinking is that what you are looking for a superintendent in, say, Garrett County might be much different than what you're looking for in Montgomery County or Baltimore City. And I think the thought was to really leave a lot of that flexibility in the hands of the local boards once individual candidates meet a particular requirement. So I believe we're going to meet one more time, date yet to be determined, but I think we're getting close.
Great. Thank you again for your work on this, and just to echo Dr. Salmon's point is board members are spending a lot of time just for their technical duties on the board, but all this committee work is can be overwhelming, so thank you for all of your time. Okay, in terms of the next meeting, which is Tuesday, March 20th, and unless something terrible or dramatic happens, I think Dr. Salmon and I would like very much not to have a Monday meeting on the 19th. We want to keep it as March 20th. There are only 3 weeks between today and that next meeting, so planning time would be limited. On the docket there so far would be continued ESSA implementation, the graduation requirement task force update, recognition of the Superintendent of the Year, legislative updates, regulatory action, online learning policies, and definition for at-risk, something that is in executive order and statute that we need to take a look at defining. Is there anything else that board members would like to add?
The mental health thing, we'll do that.
Yes.
That's I guess that's under committee update. Yep.
The regulation's a good idea. Okay, board member updates or comments. Anyone have anything additional that want to share? Yes, please, Kyle.
So I know I didn't have the chance to be at our last board meeting, so I have a lot of updates that I'd like to share. But I'd like to start by saying that since January, I've been working with the Maryland Association of Student Councils, MASC, Executive Director Ms. Olivia Keithley to ensure that students are able to fully participate on the task forces and work groups within the State Department of Education. I know a couple of students have told me about their work on the high school graduation task force, so that was great to hear. On Sunday, February 11th, I had the chance to visit Maryland's Eastern Shore and speak with students from Wacomico County. It was great to listen to their ideas and to share some of mine as well. And then on Saturday, February 24th, MASC held its third executive board meeting. Topics discussed included sexual assault and harassment issues, as well as ensuring that school curriculum clearly defines the meaning of consent in the context of sexual harassment. We also discuss ways that schools and students can create an environment that is inclusive, particularly for students in the LGBTQ plus community, who are often marginalized, something that we're constantly working to change. And then the organization affirmed support for the March for Our Lives rally and the efforts of that organization. And then as well, or in addition to that, students provided comment on the consent bill that's in the General Assembly in the House of Delegates. And finally, just to add my own comments to what Dr. Salmon said this morning about the incident at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, since that incident, student leaders from across the country have rallied together to not only honor the memory of those who lost their lives, but also to make sure that this type of senseless violence never occurs again. And so as a student, I look forward to doing my part to address these issues. But as a school system official, I also look forward to addressing issues that we see within our school system with, for example, the student counselor and student psychologist ratios, as well as the ways that our school system handles mental health issues and resources as a whole. So that concludes my comments.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Anyone else? Great. Oh, yes, Dr. Lee.
I just wanted to share that I was privileged to testify on February 7th in support of SB 300, Achieving Computer Science Collaboration for Employing Students Statewide, or the Access Act of 2018. I stated and underscored our board's commitment to supporting implementation of computer science education in a way that reaches underserved populations. I was also happy to hear my colleagues, Chester Finn and Pastor Phillips and Secretary Salmon testify on behalf of the Protect Our Students Act, which is a lot more interesting and contentious than the one I was on. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, Dr. Salmon, we can break for executive session. Let me read my document. We are going into executive session pursuant to Section 3305B of the General Provision Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. The State Board will adjourn to executive session to discuss 3 appeals, 2 draft orders, 1 draft opinion, obtain legal advice, and 2 internal board management items. It is 12:10 now. We will be back no later, hopefully earlier than, but no later than 1:45 p.m.
I move to go into closed session.
Oh. Very good.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much.